Welcome back to Talkin' Troy. We're here with a rare second episode of the week, but we had to because some big news just dropped. But before we get into it, I'm introducing Thomas Johnson. There's no one I'd rather be here with recording this pod in particular. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. I'm excited for reasons we won't get into now, but you kind of introduced
exactly.
It.
Well, we have gathered for the second time this week to discuss Eric Musselman being hired by the University of Southern California to coach the men's basketball program. Obviously, Andy Enfield recently left for Southern Methodist University as they transition into the ACC. He got bought out there. And USC had to make a move quickly because in the age of the transfer portal, players can be on the move fast, and this roster was looking very, very weak, and now he has to turn it around. But before we get into the future and what Musselman might do with this USC team, Thomas, what's just like your first thought now that Musselman is announced as Trojans head coach?
I think this is pretty exciting because USC needed a good recruiter. And, you know, Andy Enfield obviously was a good recruiter, brought in Isaiah Collier, the Mobley brothers and all. But Musselman just brings an energy, and you need that when you're competing with UCLA recruiting. And unfortunately, USC is the little brother when it comes to men's basketball. So you have a good recruiter in Musselman who also brings a lot of energy, and he's had success in the NCAA tournament. Because I think that was the biggest knock on Enfield, is he could get USC to the tournament five times in his 11 years at the helm. But that's it. He had one Elite Eight run, and Musselman in 5 years at Arkansas had two Elite Eight runs and three Sweet 16 berths. So I think it's a step up from Enfield.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when we talk about recruiting, Musselman's not just good. He's put together some genuinely great classes. Obviously coached the Martin brothers back at Nevada, both of whom I believe are in the NBA today. And then recently, the 2023 team he had at Arkansas had three freshmen who then matriculated to the NBA. Anthony Black, Nick Smith Jr., and Jordan Walsh. Now, you can say that with that level of talent, maybe he didn't optimize it, but it's really hard to be good with a lot of freshmen in college basketball, and they still made it to the Sweet 16 that year, and three of those guys obviously went on to be in the NBA. So if that's the kind of energy that he's bringing to recruiting every year, every other year, and he's matching that with legitimate postseason results, you know, obviously he doesn't have a title yet in men's basketball, but like any coach of that caliber, was going to be too lofty for USC to get. So I think this is a nice match between like an ascendant college coach and potentially an ascendant college program. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. They were never going to get like a John Calipari. I heard that name throughout. I'm like, no, he's not leaving Kentucky for USC. I'm sorry. They weren't going to get someone like Mick Cronin, but they could get somebody at a good SEC school and then try to get that SEC coach in Musselman to improve. So yeah, it was the perfect match, like you said, between, you know, being able to get a high level elite coach that can help USC get further in the tournament than they have in the past without having to like break the bank or have unrealistic expectations of pulling Coach K or Roy Williams or even Jay Wright out of retirement.
And I think in a certain way, you know, Musselman, when I was looking up his career, is actually more experienced in a myriad of ways than I thought. He's, I believe, 59 years old. He's been around the block in all over basketball. He got his start actually coaching in the Continental Basketball Association before that league folded. He was the head coach of the Rapid City Thrillers at just 24 years old. So this is a guy who's, you know, coached at a lot of levels of basketball, from the CBA to the NBA, where he was briefly a head coach of the Warriors and the Kings, and then, you know, came back around to college being the assistant at Arizona State and LSU before going on to Nevada. And I think that in a way actually makes me more confident about this hire, because let's make a parallel to like Dusty May going from FAU to Michigan. Now, Dusty May achieved great things at FAU, and I have no reason to believe that he's not going to work at Michigan. But he's still relatively young and inexperienced at a Power 5 level for a coach, right? So there's some chance that there's a risk there that things go off the wheels and his coaching style doesn't, you know, work for a high major program. Whereas with Musselman, he has such a depth of coaching experience. I mean, you know, going on like 35 years at this point, that it's just hard to imagine he is going to be overwhelmed by the moments that come for him in the future.
Well, we can make that parallel to Andy Enfield as well, because when USC hired him, he was coming off of a great NCAA tournament run with the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles. They were 15 seed, upset a 2 seed, had a great run. So he had very little Power 5 coaching experience, Enfield did. Now USC gets Musselman, who's had 5 years at Arkansas with that Power 5 coaching experience. So I think that's a great point is, sure, Andy Enfield, it looked like a good hire at the time. He was an ascending coach, but now...
And it did work out.
It did work out.
But there was some chance it didn't work out as well as it did.
Yes. And like, well, I guess where I'm going with this is Musselman has proven that he can win at a Power 5 level at a very high level. And now he gets the market of USC. To be honest, I don't really know when it comes to basketball recruiting, which is the better spot to be in, if it's Arkansas, or which is an SEC program, obviously, or USC, which has the LA market. But again, kind of little brother to UCLA. So I don't know what is the true better recruiting market. But if Andy Enfield could do it, I'm sure Musselman can do it too.
Yeah, and I would say actually in 2024, USC does have better recruiting potential than Arkansas. Now, obviously, Arkansas has a national championship banner. That's pretty cool for them. Obviously, it worked when Musselman was a high-level coach. They could bring good recruits there and send them off to the NBA. But I think the actual potential, you know, just because of the marketability of LA, the attention on USC recently, you know, if Bronny James stays another year, we're still going to be in the spotlight no matter the team's performance, especially going into the Big Ten, which is, you know, commonly considered a top two basketball conference in the country probably. So, you know, with all of those factors combining, I do think Musselman has the potential to take USC over what Arkansas was for him.
Well, there's a reason that he left Arkansas for USC, and he probably thinks that USC, I mean, there's a multitude of factors. Maybe he wanted to move his family out to LA, maybe he just wanted to get out of Arkansas, but he obviously feels that USC has better potential for him. But I do want to ask you a question. So USC men's basketball had a tough season this past year. Arkansas did as well, 16-17, 6-12 in SEC play. Does that worry you at all?
I mean, yes and no. I think on the one hand, it's actually kind of nice for USC. They probably got a little bit of a discount, that the fact that he just had a down year, and it was a more natural transition point. And also, he had to kind of reset his own Arkansas team this past season after losing guys like Anthony Black and Nick Smith, who were a big part of that program. So, you know, and things happen in college basketball, especially now the transfer portal is completely open. He had to bring in a lot of transfers these past couple of seasons. When I was looking through the Arkansas team he just had to see if there was anyone he might bring with him to USC, I actually thought there weren't a lot of guys he could bring with him, A, because it was an older team, and a lot of those players who were, you know, around the starting five in the rotation had already transferred at least once, maybe twice in some cases. So it was an older team for him, you know, less high profile in terms of the level of recruiting. And, you know, it was a down year. But it doesn't really worry me in the grand scheme because of the, you know, record he has previously. You know, like, he has one bad season out of 10 in college coaching, basically. And he took a Nevada program that was off the map to on the map. They were a top 25 program by the time he left there.
Yeah, and talking about the players he could bring with him, shortly after Musselman was announced as the USC head coach, Khalif Battle at Arkansas entered the transfer portal. He's one of those guys that has transferred. Now, this would be a second transfer, but still could follow Musselman out to USC. That would be pretty exciting because we've seen Kobe Johnson. Well, that was a dagger. That really was a dagger in all of USC's fans' hearts. He left USC for UCLA. Two recruits have requested their release from their national letter of intent. Kajani Wright, Ozias Ehlers also entered the transfer portal. So, I mean, like, what's your prediction for Musselman's first year in the Big Ten? A lot of transfer portal stuff still to go on, especially because the season isn't even over yet. But are you worried about what is going to transpire next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm keeping expectations low. I mean, even if he manages to retain Trent Perry, which I think actually is a high probability of that happening now, and assuming Bronny James stays and improves, like, even then, I can imagine a bottom five finish in the Big Ten regular season for this team. Now, I'm optimistic going forward. I just think the rebuilding job ahead of Musselman in the short term is insane, because in addition to the guys in the portal, the recruits he's potentially losing, you know, Boogie Ellis is graduating, Joshua Morgan is graduating, DJ Rodman, no matter what you thought about his play this season, also graduating. Like, the roster is just sparse. There's not a lot of guys that we can be sure are returning next season. And the guys who are returning, you know, you have maybe one or two starting caliber players when it comes to Power 5 level basketball there.
Yeah, and maybe, obviously, if USC lost some guys from their NLIs. Maybe Arkansas will too. And one of the guys in that current recruiting class, Isaiah Elohim, is from California. Yeah, from Sierra Canyon. So you wonder if he might be like, oh, the coach I committed to is now at my hometown school. So
yeah.
I could see that realistically happening. So it is a little worrisome though, because hey, they were supposed to be good this year, the Trojans, and they weren't. Maybe they'll surprise us all next year and somehow do crazy stuff in the first season of the Big Ten. Doubtful, very doubtful, but you never know in college basketball.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about Musselman that we saw at Nevada and actually continued to see at Arkansas for reasons I'll explain momentarily is that his style of basketball doesn't necessarily require the highest level of talent, I would say. You know, I was trying to look at KenPom and get a understanding of what we can expect, at least from like a statistical and stylistic perspective. His teams play fast. In all 5 years at Arkansas, they were top 50 in the nation in terms of tempo, and usually a good bit higher than 50. And defense was always their strength relative to offense. In 2021 and 2022, which were the two seasons his teams reached the Elite Eight, they were 10th and 11th in the country for adjusted defensive efficiency. So even if you don't have like the greatest core of scorers around, you know, to build around, you can still put out a competent basketball team, especially if you can manage to get like one kind of signature piece in the portal who can lead your offense for next season.
Yeah, especially it's a very different style from Enfield's coaching style, because his defenses were really good, Enfield's were, but it seems on offense, his strategy was always move the ball around the top of the key, get the ball into Boogie Ellis's, Isaiah Collier's, Drew Peterson's hands, and let them cook. And when an opposing team knows that's going to happen, it's super easy to defend. Look, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a basketball coach, so I'm just sitting here talking about it, but it seemed just like a system that would not work. And Musselman's system has proven to work even with little talent. So when he has the recruiting base that is Los Angeles and he has a good system that works, that's the winning combo right there.
What would be a season next year in USC's first year in Big Ten play that you would be reasonably happy with?
That's a tough question, because obviously I'd be happy if they made the NCAA tournament.
I just don't think that's a realistic expectation first year.
A winning record? Do you think that's realistic? I feel like a winning record is realistic.
A winning record overall or just in conference play?
Overall.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to be able to have a winning record in conference play. You see Illinois is really good. Michigan State, obviously.
Rutgers has two top 10 recruits coming in next season.
Yeah, that's going to be scary. Like, it's not going to be easy to get a winning record in conference play, but I think a winning record overall is achievable, and I would be happy with that.
Yeah, I want to see USC beat teams like Minnesota, like Iowa, maybe even Nebraska. You know, we don't know what Indiana is going to look like next season. Woodson might be gone. They also lost Liam McNeely, who is going to be their like highest profile recruit in years. You know, Maryland, I don't know. If we can be competitive with teams like that, I think that would be a best case scenario.
Competitive or beat them?
You know, maybe win one, lose one against those teams, I would say.
Yeah.
That would be a realistic best case scenario in Musselman's first season.
Yeah, so definitely USC fans, temper your expectations, at least for this upcoming year, just because of the state of the roster. I mean, how many guys are currently on the roster? Maybe like
I counted it out. Five or six? It's Bronny James, which obviously had kind of a transfer portal scare this week that proved to be incorrect, but we'll see. Vince Iwuchukwu, Aronson Page, Harrison Hornery, and Brandon Gardner. Plus like
Isaiah, you know, Collier,
a couple walk-ons. Yeah, well, I don't think Collier is going to stay.
Hey, I can hope. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he would have announced it by now. He's considering it. I think he's considering it, because if you're going to leave, you might as well announce it. I know Boogie Ellis hasn't either, and we all know he's going to, because I think he's exhausted his eligibility, so he's probably coming up with some hype video or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like it's good for USC that Isaiah Collier hasn't announced his intent to go to the NBA draft.
I'm sure he will take a meeting with Musselman before he decides. Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes.
And I wonder, though, you know, Boogie came into the season with like top 1 to 5 pick hype.
Boogie?
Sorry, not Boogie.
Oh, Isaiah.
Isaiah Collier came into the season with top 1 to 5 pick hype. And the mock drafts I've seen recently, he's more in the 10 to 20 range. And I wonder, there's two schools of thought here. One, like, if he had number 1 overall pick hype previously, does another year of tape and being better you know, help him reestablish that. Or if you're Isaiah and your stock is dropping a little bit,
you don't want to drop it.
Yeah, you don't want to take the risk of going any farther, especially next year when people will probably unilaterally say that the draft class is better, you know, led by Cooper Flagg and whoever else.
Yeah, so. I do think it's interesting because he was injured this year. He had the hand injury. So I wonder if, do you think it was fair that his draft stock plummeted because he had, a poor season in a way?
Well, I think it was more of a function of USC's team's play than his own, because when he was on the floor, he was an offensive hub who showed that he could drive and be, you know, a force of gravity on offense, and even had some great three-point shooting games. Defense was another issue altogether, but it when he actually played, the talent shined. There was just arguably not enough of that across the season, and he obviously it did not result in team success, which will probably, you know, worry some NBA scouts as well.
Yeah, well, there are fans cheering outside of our building right now, and of course it is for Travis Scott, but maybe it should be for Musselman. But any last thoughts? I know we kind of got on a tangent there.
I think this is, we've covered everything, you know, from the roster to what we can expect with Musselman. The last thing I just wanted to shout out was a handful of players I'd really like to see Musselman pursue in the portal. Malik Mack out of Harvard. He was a really, really great freshman this past season, averaged 17.2 points and 4 rebounds in his first season of college ball. Maybe that's the kind of guy Musselman can be like, hey, I've worked really well with guards getting into the NBA. You have that ceiling. Now let's see you in a Power 5 team. Another one is Miles Rice from Washington State. He actually missed the 2022-23 season as he recovered from a Hodgkin lymphoma, but got cleared. He played this past season, but he's only going to be a sophomore next season, eligibility-wise, even though he's going to be the age of a senior.
That's so crazy.
And I think the way college basketball is trending, you know, teams want to get older, especially teams that want to be competitive in March, have gotten older. And that's a player who I think any team who gets him would be able to build around, because the Athletic had him in, you know, the top like 7 or so of their best players available in the portal. And finally, I want to shout out Danny Wolf, who's a center from Yale, 7-footer, looks like a legitimate stretch 5 that offers some good rim protection. And that's the kind of player that USC hasn't really had at all since I've been here. And, you know, he might actually, because of his size and his shooting ability, even though he started his career at Yale, he actually might end up being an NBA prospect, because that's a rare combination of skills, relatively speaking. And I wonder, I don't think USC is necessarily going to be high on his list, but that's a player I'd like to see Musselman pursue for sure.
Well, there's also the one transfer portal commit that Arkansas already had in Josh Cohen, who's a 4-star power forward. So if he's already committed to Musselman at one point, why not just... And again, there's a lot of different factors that go into commitments, the school, the degree, but...
Have they already locked up NIL money?
Yeah, have they already locked up NIL money? So there's a lot of factors, but usually players commit to a coach. At least that's been the tendency recently, because Caleb Williams committed to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, followed him to USC when that coaching change was made. So
same with all of the, you know, 5-stars that Oklahoma had on offense that came to USC his year. I mean, I'm thinking there was a receiver. I'm losing my mind here. And the running back who just...
Raleigh Brown,
yeah.
Was Zach Branch committed to Oklahoma? No, Mekhi Lemon.
Mekhi Lemon.
It was Mekhi Lemon with Malachi Nelson, because they were high school teammates. But yeah,
so we'll see if a similar philosophy applies here.
Yeah, because they have two... Like I already mentioned, Elohim, they have two recruits in their high school recruiting class, Jalen Shelley from Missouri, shout out, as the other one, and then Josh Cohen, the transfer. So you could see maybe those three players jumping ship, because the two recruits in high school, top 75 players in the country, and you could potentially get Trent Perry back. That could be a huge combo, and could be a very, very quick roster transition rebuild for Musselman.
And that is actually, I think, the point we should end on here, is that there's been a lot of negativity about USC's basketball team on the men's side from this past season. But I think we also shouldn't forget that as quickly as you can fall down, you can now bounce back up because of the transfer portal, because of NIL incentives. You know, like programs can vary wildly in their performance year to year in a way that I don't think was necessarily the case a decade ago.
Well, it's also, when Enfield took over the program, USC's basketball program was trash.
And it took 3, 4, or 5 years to build back to what we now see it as.
Yeah, and so that's when the program was bad and it was a different age of college basketball. the program had a bad year this year, USC did, but it's still in a much better state than when Enfield took over. Musselman has Power 5 coaching experience, so he has a better pitch to recruits than I think Enfield did at his start. And like you said, transfer portal is totally different. So again, we were a little, I'll say, pessimistic about USC's record next year, but we never know. It's college basketball. It's the one and done. You never know in men's college basketball how any season is going to go. So we are pessimistic. I think we're fair to be that way, but so much still has to happen before next season starts.
Final quick question for you. Rate the Musselman hire out of 10. Let's say getting someone like a Calipari was going to be an 11 out of 10. Like not really realistic. What would you put Musselman's hire at?
Ooh, I want to give it an 8, 8.5. Just because it's a different hire than what the Enfield hire was, and that Enfield did come from Florida Gulf Coast. Now Musselman's coming from Power 5, good recruiter. All the reasons we listed, I'd put it at, I'll say an 8.
I think I'll go 9 even. I'm really excited about this for USC. But that is all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening for the second time this week, hopefully. My name has been Jack Hallinan. I'm with Thomas Johnson. We hosted this week. I will be editing later as well. And this is also produced by Jonathan Park.
And produced by Jack Hallinan. Don't sell yourself short.
Thank you. But we'll see you next week with maybe some more basketball conversation. But now that the seasons are over and coaches have come and gone, it'll probably be some more varied talk. Maybe we'll get back into baseball now.
I love baseball.
Exactly.
They just beat Oregon State this past week, and that'd be
huge. Big pair of wins there. But thank you for listening. See you next time.